A community land trust is a community-based nonprofit with the mission to provide affordable housing in perpetuity to people who own the homes on the land that the land trust owns. So the land trust leases the land to the homeowner.
Okay.
So that's the short definition, and of course, it's more complicated than that, but that's what a land trust is.
Well, how do they get set up? Is there, I mean, when you say trust, you think of, you know, you think of a bank, you know, First Savings and Trust. You mm-hmm. think of trust funds. You think mm-hmm. of, I mean, what is a trust? Does it have a board of directors? Is there money in it, or
right.
what exactly?
Well, for these community land trusts that we're talking about, yes, there will be a board of directors. And right now, the SCDC could act as that board of directors. The board is supposed to be comprised in a dedicated way. So there'd be approximately a third of the board would be people who are benefiting from these affordable homes. A third would be people that are experts on the subject. I don't know who those people would be. And then a third would be, members of the community at large.
Okay. And how does it get going? Where does the money come from? Where does the land
right.
come from?
Yeah. That's a really good question. And one that, you know, is that we were all asking as we were learning about it. I went to Juneau and I asked, there's a land trust there that is functional. And it was really good to talk to them because I could ask those questions and just say, well, how did you start? And use that as sort of an example. And a land trust first would start, you know, with a dedicated group of people that really care about starting one. And then for Sitka, we'll be asking for advice from a person who has been involved with land trusts for over 20 years and comes from Burlington, where there's a land trust that's been in play for over 40 years. So we would get expert advice on how to set it up, because there's a lot of legal framework that has to go into setting up a land trust so that it can function well and also be sustainable. So that's the other thing. You know, you're talking about developing a place for people to live, and you're going to be part of the land trust involves having a lease with the homeowner. And the lease is a 99-year lease. So you want to set up a framework that supports something that's going to last a long time. So there's a lot of groundwork to be done, and I don't know the specific answers to all of that. But then the way that you get money is either, well, you would get, obviously you'd need some money to run a land trust, but you need land. And in order to get land, you can get land either that is donated to the land trust because maybe someone believes in it and donates the land. A community, a municipality, can put land in a land trust. There have been federal programs designed to facilitate affordable housing in communities. And I don't know, I'm not an expert on those. We would have to be advised on where to go to find funding and these sort of federal programs. But in the past, in the first 4 years of the Obama administration, there was Juneau got some land from a program that was designed to repossessed houses. So if a land trust existed and there were repossessions in play in a community, that land trust could ask for funds from the federal government to purchase those properties, because they would be turning them over, you know, keeping the land in trust and just selling the house. So that was another way that Juneau got land.
Okay, so a community land trust isn't necessarily a large tract of land. It can be a house, a property
yes.
here, property there.
Absolutely. And in Juneau, they have, when I asked them, you know, where they were, they had 12 places that they had already, and they were working on their 13th affordable house. And they they have them scattered all over the community. And some are, I think they have duplexes, but most of them are individual homes. And they also have employed the Youth Build program over there to when that land trust has gotten money and has been able to purchase land, they've then collaborated with the high school to have the high school students build a home on their land. I think they have two that they've made available that way.
Okay, so sometime in Juneau, anyway, the land trust has bought foreclosed or repossessed properties with federal through a federal program,
right,
and then made the homes available through the CLT. And they've also just developed homes from the ground up.
Yep.
So
right.
And was that their is that the vision you have for Sitka?
Now, remember, I'm not on the board.
Right.
I'm a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that having land trust homes scattered throughout the community is a really good idea. If because it's not, in my mind, this isn't about creating a low-income housing tract. It's about providing affordable housing to not just low-income people, but even median income. You know, there's a need in this town for median income folks to be able to find affordable housing.
Let's talk about sustainability for a moment.
Okay.
You talk about the a dedicated group of people get it going. You get some funding, you know, from a variety of sources, and then you set up the lease structure. You know, you acquire the land and you set up the lease structure. You know, then what? What happens when the dedicated group of people aren't there anymore?
Well, if you formed a board, theoretically, the board keeps going. I mean, you don't have that same group of people, but the hope is that there will always be people to come and be on that board. And I think there would have to be at least one paid staff person.
Like an executive director?
Yeah. It just seems like there should be. And it would depend on how many units Sitka ended up having. And I don't picture this as being a really big thing. And it certainly would be a slowly developing thing. The only income stream that that I hear about that a CLT would have is the small monthly lease fee that is coming in from the properties. And, you know, if you're saying, well, you know, maybe it's $25 to $40 a month per place in Juneau, if they only have 12, you know, that's not a big income stream. And I think they're running their CLT right now. It's all volunteer.
Is it really that low? Are the lease payments for the land really that low?
Mm-hmm. They're kept low on purpose.
Okay. What about the arrangement that the buyer makes with the bank? I mean, you still have to, don't the buyers of community land trust properties still have to go to the bank and get a regular mortgage? And
yeah,
everything?
It's all conventional in that regard.
Right.
The unconventional part is that there's a separate deed for the property and a separate deed for the house. And so the property remains in the trust, and the home that sits on that property is, it's completely conventional ownership. There are some covenants that are in place, and it's all written into the contract when the sale happens. So the homeowner is very aware of those covenants, and there might be some restrictions on the kind of development that can go on that piece of property. In it, you know, the land trust is going to want to pay attention to that. And then there's covenants involving the resale and a resale formula, so that the house, the appreciation in the house, all of the appreciation in the house won't go to the homeowner at the time of the sale. It's shared between the homeowner and the land trust. And when you talk about the community land trust, that sharing, if it's truly a community land trust, then the sharing is the homeowner gets a portion of that appreciation and the community gets, you know, it stays in the community, that appreciation. And it's made available to the next homeowner.
Cleo, I'm just wondering if you've, and granted, you're not on the board, but you probably go listen in while they talk. And you're playing this scheme forward. I mean, you get the CLT set up, you get some buyers in, and then 10, 15 years go by, or maybe 5, 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. The purchasers of the property sell, mm-hmm. and they go through this process that you've just described. And in the meantime, if the homes are scattered throughout town, mm-hmm. if what happens is similar to what has been happening, suddenly you have a bunch of homes that are, you know, selling, you know, just let's just say for $400,000, and then you've got a CLT property that's still down around what like 170 or 180. Is that sort of the, I don't know, these are just hypothetical numbers, but you've got a disparity, mm-hmm. in you've got a sort of a weird kind of checkerboard of values now. And what do you think that's going to be like? Do you think people will be, you think they'll be waitlisting to get CLT homes, or what?
I think so. Yeah. I think there's a real need for that kind of housing, that option for housing. It certainly, it allows someone to gain equity and take a step up and then buy a home on the market, you know, that's on the open market. And I think when you talk about, you know, picturing sort of a neighborhood, I don't think already there's all kinds of patchwork neighborhoods in Sitka. I mean, you can have a very valuable house right next to one that's not so. So I don't think.
But they're all kind of appreciating at the same rate. And uh-huh. you've got now with the CLT, you've got kind of
a home that's not appreciating.
That's not. You know, going up with the market.
I guess. It is going up with the market, but you're not allowing that to happen at the time of the sale. It's like the house is still valuable, but you're putting a limit on the amount of appreciation that the homeowner can realize at the time of sale, so that the new buyer comes in at a lower price. It's that whole idea of perpetual affordability. You know, there have been other times when developers have come in and built attractive homes and put it out to the community as affordable. And I don't know how they did that. Maybe they got some sort of subsidies or something. And so certainly the first-time homeowner comes in and they get an affordable house. And they live there for a while and decide to sell, and they sell it at the fair market value, and that next, it's not affordable anymore to that next buyer. They're paying top dollar, which isn't a bad thing, but those subsidies that came to the community as kind of a benefit to our community are benefited into, you know, a few individuals, and then they're gone. And with if the land trust can take advantage of subsidies like that, then that value stays in the community. And it just seems to me that it's a good thing.
And the community is still getting value regardless of the fact that the homeowner doesn't own the land, because does the CLT still pay property taxes?
Yes, I believe so. I believe I asked them in Juneau about that. And yeah, I think that the land, that's part of the lease fee, goes into paying the the land tax. Yeah.
So that and that would be, that alone would be fairly considerable. I think that would be, have to be in the neighborhood of $100 or $200 a month for a typical property around here. I'm just thinking about
my numbers aren't adding up.
Yeah.
But it's true, they do keep the leases low, so I don't know how they make up that difference.
Yeah. It sounds like it would be, well, I don't know. I guess you'd have to crunch the numbers.
Right.
But as you're saying, the affordability enters into the picture at the time of the transaction. It's suddenly you've got, around here anyway, and it's not even sudden. It's it's occurred sort of gradually, that the kinds of homes that maybe you bought and I bought when we were younger and just starting out,
uh-huh.
we couldn't necessarily step out of those homes and sell them to people who are just starting.
Oh no!
Or we started. They've sort of appreciated beyond mm-hmm. beyond the point where newbies
right.
could get into them.
Right.
So, I just wonder if a dozen CLT properties is going to make a real difference mm-hmm. for the town, or is it just going to create a riot over people trying to get them? How many CLT properties are enough? At what point mm-hmm. are you creating affordability and not affecting the market values of the rest of town? I mean, how do you find that balance?
Right. Oh, because you're picturing a time when there would be some sort of competition. People would have to lower their market rate houses because they'd be competing. I don't think there'd be enough CLT homes to do that. And I don't think they're going to turn over like popcorn. It'll be invisible is what I think. There'll be a certain amount of CLT homes that it has the potential to create homeowners that are prepared to buy those market rate homes because they have something, you know, more to spend.
Do you have to qualify to buy a CLT?
I believe so. And that will be part of the important questions that the consultant helps us answer, you know, setting the criteria.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I imagine like anytime you buy a house, you have to go into the bank and qualify for the
yeah.
loan. But for a CLT, mm-hmm. is there an income threshold which you must be at in order to buy it?
That's a really good question. Yeah. And I'm not sure of the answer for Sitka. I think, that one obvious answer would be to say yes, you know, that you have to be at or below the threshold, the low income threshold or whatever. But like I said before, I personally think there are median income people that are having trouble finding homes. And so I don't know if this CLT in Sitka will have a broader criteria.
So that's what the board will do. You'll set it up and you'll fine tune it.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
make it work for Sitka.
For Sitka, right.
I'm just curious, what's the time frame do you think we're looking at?
A long, long time. I think we need to do some fundraising. We need to hire this consultant. And I would think it could be a year or two before we're ready to obtain land and start in.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a slow process. And, you know, part of it is, you know, taking this time to do these sort of interviews and let the public know what we're trying to do, what we think is a good idea, because I think a community land trust really needs the community to support it in concept.